This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We've been talking about Enbridge Line 5 and some questions about an oil spill that happened in Line 5 in the Upper Peninsula around 1980. We turn now to Jason Mansham. He is the Manager of Community Relations for Enbridge. It's good to have you with us, Jason.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Cindy. I do appreciate the opportunity.
Enbridge says, Jason, that all but one barrel of a five-barrel spill was cleaned up back in 1980. Do you know how Enbridge arrived at that estimate?
Yeah, absolutely. Very simply, its volume in to a line must equal volume out. And so basically what you can calculate is not only any contamination that you would remove from the site, but it's also what comes out of our pipeline system at the end of the line. And there's just a couple of ways that you can make a very good estimate on any volume out or any release.
So that one barrel is what the folks back in 1980 figured was left behind after the five-barrel spill was cleaned.
Absolutely. And of course, in any release that you would have into the natural environment, some of that would be lost due to evaporation.
Let's go to 2011, when Enbridge revisited the spill site in the Hiawatha National Forest and found high levels of a harmful petroleum-related compound. Correct me if I'm wrong here, dug out about 825 tons of soil and asked the Forest Service for a permit to install a groundwater monitoring system in the area. What brought Enbridge back to the site?
Well, we returned to that site back in 2011. For a valve replacement project. That is really part of our routine maintenance program. It's something that we will periodically do across all of our pipeline systems. While we were there, though, to replace the valve, we decided because there was a historical release there that we would do additional testing, just as one more layer of safety and precaution. At that time, you know, we decided to remove the soil from that area with the valve replacement. Much of the soil that was removed was due to the actual maintenance work, the replacement of the valve. But it was at that time where we did see some historical contaminants. And then in October, actually, of 2012, we did file a permit application with the U.S. Forest Service to install groundwater monitoring wells. Now, the permit wasn't approved until roughly 3 years later, in 2015, and once it was approved, we did install those monitoring wells same year. We have a self-implemented cleanup plan that is allowed by Part 201 of state regulations, which essentially is we will report to the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, and that will be at the conclusion of all of this work and sampling sometime later this summer. But I can tell you that to date, the monitoring wells have not detected contamination of groundwater.
I was reading the reader comments after the story that Keith Matheny did in the Free Press, and there was kind of a question of, gee, 825 tons of soil seems to be an awful lot, either for a valve replacement or the idea of soil affected by one barrel.
Yeah, again, the 825 tons of soil is a combination of what we found from historical contaminants coupled with the soil that we are going to remove for that valve replacement. And with any project like this, you typically find that you will over-excavate. So you take out a bigger swath or a bigger area, a bigger environmental footprint than you absolutely need. And then you replace it all with fresh or clean soil.
Did any of that soil get saved, Jason, for testing to really assess the extent and the makeup of the contamination?
All of that was tested at the time that we were there in 2011 to do the valve replacement. And that's where we saw indications of that historical contamination.
Are those results public?
You know, I don't know if those results are available anywhere. I do not believe so.
Considering that there's kind of this track record and people in Michigan are certainly, their antenna are up because all we have to do is say Line 6B, Kalamazoo 2010, and immediately that gets people's attention, would it be worthwhile to make that public?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Cindy, the results of all of our testing after that permit was approved will be made available to the DEQ later this summer when it's completed. And at that point, once it goes to the DEQ, it is available publicly.
Okay. Another conclusion that I think people are drawing from these facts, and this is your chance to set that straight, it seems that the company said the spill was cleaned up in 1980 and in 2011 kind of discovered no, it wasn't, by, as you talk about, this historical contamination. Is that a fair conclusion?
We were able to remove back in 1980 approximately 4 out of the 5 barrels that we estimate were released out of Line 5. The cleanup methods that were done at that time adhered to all regulations at the state and the federal level. But again, when we went back in 2011, because that was the site of a historical release, we will always test and retest soil and any water as necessary. And so if there is any sort of historical contamination, regardless of how long ago we had a spill, that's where we will continue to remediate and remove the contamination. But again, in 1980, everything was cleaned up according to specifications and regulations.
At the time. Have those specs and regulations tightened up since then, Jason?
You know, cleanup methods have, of course, improved. Technology has improved. The way that we can get to even finite quantities of oil have improved. And yeah, some of the regulations over the years have, of course, changed.
I think this is a chance to get the perspective of Enbridge through you in terms of telling people exactly what actions Enbridge is taking to reassure Michiganders that Enbridge is a responsible custodian of Michigan's natural resources.
Absolutely. Well, first, I can't stress the importance of this. If you look at what occurred there in the National Forest in 1980, first and foremost, when we identified the issue, we made all proper notifications. In fact, we even contacted the U.S. Forest Service when there wasn't a requirement to do so. That was done immediately. If you look at the Free Press article, it would indicate that we didn't actually notify the proper regulators and authorities. And that just, quite frankly, is inaccurate. That's not true. We did provide all of the information that was requested of us based on our records with individuals we contacted at the agencies, with even the date and the time of those communications. And we adhered to all regulations. And lastly, but probably most importantly, again, this was immediately cleaned up and remediated. Anything that would indicate anything else other than us notifying authorities and regulators immediately and doing the proper cleanup, again, is just inaccurate. And at the end of the day, readers online, listeners to your program, they need to get accurate information so that at that point they can make informed decisions.
Jason Mancham, Manager of Community Relations for Enbridge. Jason, we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.